be in a listen-only mode. However, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require any assistance at any point, please press star zero and you'll be connected to an operator. I'll now hand the call over to your host today, Mr. Ruud Joosten, CEO, and Mr. Frans den Houter, CFO, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to the analyst call for Royal BAM Group following the publication of our trading statement this morning. I am Ruud Joosten, CEO. With me are Frans den Houter, our CFO, and Michel Aupers, our Investor Relations Manager. For our opening slide, we have chosen to show you one of the many impressive U.K. projects being delivered by BAM Construct U.K. using innovative methods. The Globe Point project in Leeds consists of 37,000 sq ft of next-generation office workspace for 400 people. During the year 2021, still working under COVID restrictions, BAM used off-site construction of precast concrete panels faced with brick as a more efficient, safer, and more sustainable technique than traditional bricklaying. This modular approach also meant a much lower impact on the site surroundings during construction. Looking at our financial performance in the first 9 months, revenue for the Netherlands, UK, and Ireland was up by 3% compared to last year. Adjusted EBITDA improved to €281 million at a margin of 5.7%. Excluding the €52 million book profit on the Weiss & Freytag transaction in September, the margin for the 9 months was 4.7%. I would describe that as a good result. Operational performance in the third quarter was held back due to inflation, supply chain issues, and some delays. The main impact was felt in the segment Netherlands non-residential construction and the division UK and Ireland. Part of that related to our presence in Denmark, which is managed out of the Netherlands. The current projects of the small business will be completed in 2024. It's good to see that Dutch civil engineering continuing to improve, while Dutch residential construction and property was again a strong contributor. We have some larger institutional transactions in the pipeline, which should get us to approximately 2,000 homes sold in the full year. Also like to mention our Dutch activities in water, energy and telecom, which is expected to realize an impressive number of 95,000 optical fiber connections to the home this year. In the division United Kingdom and Ireland, there is good momentum for energy and defense projects and the rail infrastructure network. The largest part of the order book decline in the third quarter was because of the divestments. We also removed one of the backlog, a UK regional development program, mainly roadworks that had been reviewed. The order book at the end of September of 10 billion is substantial and of good quality. The uncertainties in the macroeconomic environment are affecting sentiment in our markets. We are using tools we have to mitigate cost inflation and supply chain pressure and support our colleagues while we deliver good projects to our clients. We are increasingly focusing on new opportunities to provide sustainable solutions using our industry-leading capabilities. For instance, during the third quarter, Dutch civil engineering played an important role in the realization of the Eems Energy Terminal, a project in Eemshaven to substantially increase the import capacity of gas for northwestern Europe. I'm pleased with our progress so far in our three-year strategy plan that runs to the end of 2023. The completion of the sale of Weiss & Freytag in September marked a successful conclusion of our divestment program. That transaction was the main driver of the improvement in the capital ratio to reach 21.1%. Our trade working capital efficiency and liquidity were solid. For the full year 2022, we reiterate the outlook of an adjusted EBITDA margin of at least 4%. And as we said in August, we expect to propose a dividend over the full year. Before we go over to your questions, I would like to mention two recent developments. As you know, the Dutch Fiscal Information and Investigation Service and the Dutch Public Prosecution Office have recently started an investigation relating to potential irregularities at some already completed projects of BAM International. BAM is fully cooperating with the investigation. The timing and the possible outcome of the investigation are uncertain. Yesterday, the Council of State has decided that the generic building exemption will lapse. This decision is obviously a setback for our industry. However, it came not unexpected for BAM. On a positive note, already granted permits are upheld. Projects that are under construction will therefore continue as usual. New residential projects are still possible, provided that nitrogen deposition remains within the legal limits, and this is demonstrated by areas calculations. BAM has already executed areas calculations for the construction phase of almost all its property development projects. As far as BAM is concerned, any delays can be kept to a minimum. We expect that larger infrastructure projects will face limited delays. We continue to focus on product market combinations where we can make a difference, and we continue to invest in sustainable, digital, and industrial solutions. BAM is a front runner in sustainability, for example, by our investment in electric plants and equipment, which is enabling us to limit the deposition of nitrogen during the construction phase. Now, let's open the line for questions.
Thank you much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask any questions, please press star one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star two. Today's first question is coming from Mr. Martin Drijver, calling from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for allowing me to ask a question, a number of questions. The first one, and I'll do them one by one, is about the supply chain constraints slash disruptions. Can you talk us a little bit how you view the outlook for the fourth quarter and perhaps in 2023 in relation to these supply chain issues?
Yeah, thank you for your question. Of course, a very important subject, mainly related to inflation in a few of the more important segments. But we see an impact on the supply chain. Difficult to predict what the inflation will do over the coming period. Of course, already on a very high level on labor costs, but also raw materials. We expect that this will not go away quickly. This inflation, maybe not the extreme levels that we saw earlier, but still substantial inflation to continue through this year, probably also next year. So we calculate that into our tenders to be able to maintain margins.
The question was more about the supply chain, not so much about inflation.
Yeah, but closely related, of course. Okay. In buying, materials and labor in subcontracting that we obviously largely do. And of course, that inflation causes sometimes some disruptions in that supply chain. And that's what we see in some of the segments going on. That in the whole chain of subcontracting and delivering of raw materials, sometimes there is disruption because of these price developments. Earlier days also in shortage of supplies, but that's to a lesser extent what we see now.
Clear. Thank you. Moving on to my second question. Civil engineering in the Netherlands continues to improve. Does that apply to the whole of the activities, including the large contracts division, or not? Perhaps you can shed some light on that element.
Yeah, thanks, Martijn. Frans here, good morning. Yeah, that applies for the whole segment, as we call it today. So that's the whole of InfraNL, including large projects.
And are you moving towards, let's say, your target EBITDA margin in this segment, or are we still far away from it or away from it? Is it only trajectory, but are you satisfied with the progress?
We only provide guidance overall for the whole company, and I think as Ruud clearly worded, we are satisfied with where we are. We reconfirm outlook for the company, and that's where we leave it today. Martijn.
Okay. Then on the delays, could you perhaps shed some light on the project delay in Denmark? Is that in civil engineering, and is that one that is also operating in Germany?
No, Denmark is a smaller activity being managed from the Netherlands, but this is not in civils, this is more CMP, a few projects over there. So we report on them as part of the Dutch division. Maybe a bit confusing, but that's how it's reported within the company. And for that segment, for these projects, we see the same kind of development as for some of the projects in the non-residential CMP in the U.K. and the Netherlands as well. So some of the subcontracting firms having problems in delivering, sometimes indeed related to inflation. In particular, examples also related to delivering of some of the systems they were, let's say, contracted for. So it's a combination of these elements, but mostly impacted by high inflation, I think caused by high inflation.
Okay. And then my final question for now. Yesterday, your peer Heijmans made some remarks about the housing market, specific segments of the housing markets. You are guiding for a very strong fourth quarter in terms of housing sales, but how do you view the development after the fourth quarter, both in terms of demand, but also in terms of pricing?
Yeah, indeed, we have some very good deals in the pipeline, so that's why we are confident for the Q4 numbers we provided in the press release. Yeah, it's a bit of a complicated situation, of course. You see interest rates going up, consumer confidence going down, but on the other hand, still a huge shortage of homes in the Netherlands, especially. And that balancing out maybe. But what we see, I also mentioned that also in Q2, that the homes we are building, we can still sell, let's say, with a lot of comfort. And yeah, I think also in the year 2023, next year, that will be the case. So we don't see strong signals that we cannot sell the things we're developing and building. Yeah, not really going into the segments there, because we don't see at this moment in time a big difference between these segments.
Got it. I have some additional questions, but I'll leave some room for the others. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll now go to Mr. Thijs Hollestelle, calling from ING Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, operator. Morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I've got a question about the revenue budgets for next year, and then specifically also on the non-core business still within your portfolio. I think that's only one company now in Belgium. What are the annual revenues, approximately?
Morning, Thijs. So circa 150 million of turnover outside the two divisions is the number we provided also at H1.
Yeah, and that's the only thing left. Let's say the rest is now core.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wind down of BAM International projects completed, and then for next year, CMP Construction and Property Belgium will be in the portfolio and will stay there, adding 150 million circa of revenue.
Yeah, and I guess that you are now doing the budgets for next year. So what is approximately the expected total annual revenue range for next year?
I think we reconfirmed the strategic targets for 2023, as we communicated, where we said circa 5.5 billion, and there's no other data point at this stage that we provide.
Right. That's clear. Yeah, and then on, I mean, I know it's a very difficult subject, but on the tax authorities, let's say rating BAM International, did they already gave the investigators, did they gave you kind of a date in which they would provide an update or any indication on the length of the investigations?
Yeah, I think the best way forward is not to comment on that, Thijs, because for us, indeed, it was a surprise as well to get the visit. And the only thing we know is that indeed it's about a few projects that were closed already. It's part of the BAM International business that was closed, by the way, 2 years ago, that business. And that's what we know, that's what we communicated to the outside market. I think it's better to leave it at that, and yeah, let's wait for further information from the Justice Department before we have new information for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, and then basically the same question on, are there any other important deadlines on arbitrage cases which could have a significant impact or anything else in the, let's say, before the year ends?
No, we always have claims under negotiation with clients, of course, and sometimes timing and outcome is difficult to predict, but there are no specific ones that we report out on, Thijs.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. And then also in addition to what Martijn was asking, if I read, let's say, the comments in the press release on the situation in the end markets, then it seems to me that it is really the external factors, so the supply chain caused the delays that are causing, let's say, some underperformance or lower than expected performance in, for instance, the non-residential business in the Netherlands. But there is no such thing as, let's say, mixed price contracts or, let's say, more company-specific issues with client disputes or, yeah, badly priced contracts. Is that a fair assumption?
That's spot on. That's absolutely true. Nothing to report there. Indeed, we see some. It's not a big surprise if you indeed look at the huge developments regarding inflation, for example. But indeed, linked to outside factors coming into these projects, and some of these projects that causes some difficulty now and then.
Yeah, okay. And one final question also about the housing market. I know it's also a difficult subject, also for us, but it is one of the most early cyclical businesses within your business portfolio. And so I can imagine that maybe you had 20 or 30 buyers per home in the beginning of the year, and that is going fine if you have one buyer, but if that one buyer also disappears, yeah, it can go rather quickly. So if I look back on the historic performance of especially the property development business, yeah, it can be quite cyclical, eh? Both the consumers can be gone, let's say, somewhere next year because of affordability or losing their confidence completely. And that, I think, is also applicable to the institutional investors, eh? Because they all have to recalculate with much higher interest rates. So, yeah, I can imagine that you already see in kind of more hesitant customers in that in the property development business. What are the scenarios you're calculating with?
Yeah, so I think it relates a little bit back to Ruud's earlier remark. There's a lot of factors and complexity. Interest rates are going up. Affordability is an element. Unclarity maybe in Dutch approach there on the property investor side. However, we still see sufficient appetite. And also with these energy prices, climate neutral houses with low energy consumption are also a plus for buyers. So we still think also combined that with the structural shortage of housing in the Netherlands, there is still sufficient appetite in the scenarios we have on the table.
Yeah, and I was also thinking that because you are creating, let's say, the houses out of scratch, you probably can also meet the affordability difficulty. But how quickly can you, let's say, redesign the offered houses so that consumers can indeed, let's say, afford these homes?
Yeah, indeed, again, spot on. Of course, we always, in these development plans, we provide several types of homes, social, lower rent, higher rent, and more free market homes. So in that sense, we're pretty flexible together with our customers, of course, to have a market compliant delivery there. And of course, that can change over time if the market circumstances change a little bit. But indeed, we have that in our own hands. And that really helps going forward to have that flexibility.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you much, sir. We'll now go to Tim Ehlers, calling from BAM. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm not calling from BAM, but from Kepler, but anyways, not that important. I have three questions. So, first of all, when you guide for the 5.5 billion for 2023, roughly, do you expect some adjustments in your EBITDA margin guidance for that year, or would it be in line with the 4% you had for this year?
Yeah, so for next year, we refer to the original strategic targets, and we say we are on track to meet them, and those are 5.5 billion indeed, as you state, and adjusted EBITDA margin of circa 5%.
Okay. All right. And one more specific question regarding your order book. So you stated that you took out 600 million from that highway project in the U.K. Could you give some insights there? What was the reason for taking it out? Because it's quite a significant chunk. So yeah, just want to know what happened there.
Yeah, so there's a number of projects that are related to the regional road development program in the U.K., where the client has at least decided to stop some of these programs. We were already in a phase of mobilization, but some of these projects are being reconsidered. Yeah, that may mean that in the later point of time, we will be able to add them back to the portfolio. But for now, we are cautious, and also other projects that are in that same area of regional road development program, we took out of the order book to keep it conservative.
Okay. So do you also see a risk there with the political turmoils in the U.K. that they might reconsider their whole infrastructure budget, which was quite significant and which could have been a nice boost to you?
Very good question. Very good question. I think it's very difficult to do their predictions. I was very careful with political statements in that sense. It's a very turbulent phase, just like in the Netherlands, by the way, on the political side in the U.K., with a lot of decisions to take on budgets, on the government budget in particular. So let's wait and see what the new government will do there. In general, longer term, we see a big appetite in the U.K. for investment in infrastructure as a multiplier for the economy in general. And yeah, we estimate that will stay. There is indeed a big demand for improving the infrastructure in the U.K. On top of that, we see good developments there, for example, in the defense, on the defense infrastructure side, where a lot of investments are planned as well.
Okay. Thanks for that. And then one final question, also touching up on the residential topic. So also, as you mentioned, that you believe that there will be some tailwinds because of the housing shortage and also the aim of the government to build more affordable and social housing. Let's say this actually be realized. Do you see a margin difference there compared to, say, higher-priced houses you were able to sell for a nice premium in the couple of last months and years? Do you expect a drop in margin there, or is it actually the same level because it's more standardized houses? Yeah, what do you expect on that?
No, we don't expect a drop in margin there. We are calculating with stable margins there going forward.
Okay. All right. That was it for me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. We'll take questions now from Maarten Verbeek, calling from The IDEA!. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. It's Maarten Verbeek of The IDEA!. First question, you mentioned that your operating profit was held back by inflation, supply chain, and delay. Could you more or less quantify how much those three have held back your operating margin?
No, so that's very difficult. You can imagine we have a significant portfolio of projects. In principle, we mitigate this as a tender principle, so the inflation risk should not sit with BAM. But of course, that's never perfect. There's always a tailwind risk. And you see now specifically in these extreme scenarios that on some of these projects, we experience some headwind, and that held back a little bit the Q3 overall. And Ruud explained two specific areas where that was visible, and I think that's what we have for now.
Do you expect the combination of these three to worsen into Q4 or that it will ease somewhat?
Yeah, difficult to say, but probably it will be on the same level. We don't see big changes there in the inflation level, but very difficult to predict. It is very turbulent times. A lot of macroeconomic developments going on all over the globe. I think most safe here is to calculate with the same level in Q4.
If that is not changing and traditionally, seasonally, Q4 is a stronger quarter in the year, is then fair to assume that the adjusted EBITDA margin should be at least the 3% we have seen in Q3?
Yeah, difficult to say. We reiterate the outlook, and I think that's what we can give you right now. I think, of course, that shows you some comfort here at the table. In a very turbulent world, I think it's wise to leave it at that.
I'd like to get back to Denmark, where you have a small operation, and I do believe it's focused particularly at schools. Where should I place Denmark in your strategic plan going forward? Believe that it was clear that the Netherlands, the U.K., and Ireland was BAM's core market.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. It's indeed a smaller activity for BAM. It reports to the Dutch non-residential business. It's about indeed a few projects, and we will be very, let's say, critical in looking for tenders and probably not having, let's say, a series of tenders coming into that business in the near future. That's where we are. Indeed, it's not strategically a big item on our agenda at this moment in time. Of course, at the moment we have more information on that one, we will give you that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have any questions or follow-up questions, please press star one at this time. We'll take up our first follow-up question from Mr. Martin Drijver from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, operator. Wayss & Freytag has been sold at the end of the Q3. Was the EBITDA margin of Wayss & Freytag roughly in the 7%-8% EBITDA margin region?
Yeah, I can confirm. Can confirm. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Secondly, electrification continues, and by electrification, I mean your own electrification of the equipment you use. Lots of new announcements on LinkedIn. How should we think about CapEx for 2022? So it's only a quarter left, but also 2023. Can you help us out in terms of CapEx guidance for this year and next year?
Yeah, so the guidance we also provided at H1 is it's roughly in line with the depreciation, so 100 to 120 million on an annual basis. Of course, we're now looking at budgets for next year. Yeah, so if there's any accelerations on CapEx because of strategic investments there, we will let the market know, but for now, we see it just as a normal run rate.
Okay. And then on, you mentioned that you're expecting to pay a dividend. Maybe you can refresh my memory in terms of the payout ratio and whether that is in or excluding one-offs.
No, so the statement there was that we expect to propose a dividend over 2022, and the BAM dividend policy says 30%-50% of net profits and makes no comments on what is accepted, yes or no. That will be a discussion, of course, after finalizing the annual report and discussing that with our supervisory board.
Because clearly, with a capital ratio of 21%, you have more leeway than ever before, at least in the last 3, 4, 5 years.
We're very pleased with the 21% indeed, Martijn. That is an important element of the resilience of this company. Hence also the statement at H1, that we are confident to go into a dividend discussion.
Okay, and then my final question, it's a difficult one, but in your discussions with customers, this is again about the subject of supply chain, but mainly inflation, what is the general stance?
are they willing to work with you, renegotiate, or now that inflation doesn't seem transitory and is getting higher, are they really just sticking to the original contract and say, bum, you solve it? What's the trend there?
Yeah, it's very difficult to give a general remark there. What you see in new tenders, of course, inflation is a big item. And we see their realistic view by customers, realizing that inflation is there and should be part of this tender process. So that is a more easy discussion than, of course, renegotiate afterwards, which is much more difficult. But also there, sometimes we see people have some realistic views as well, but of course, much more difficult. But yeah, extremely difficult to give a general trend there. I think more importantly, indeed, on new tenders for new big projects, of course, some hesitation by bigger customers because of the interest rate that went up, some macroeconomic developments that make big developments more difficult. And there you see some delay of big projects. And we still have some very good ones in our portfolio, and we're happy with some new ones we have in BAM. But clearly, some of these projects were delayed.
Isn't it possible to say something like, on the property development, on the investor level, they're still willing to work with you, and it's more in the public domain, provinces, cities, that stick to fixed price, agreed upon price? Would that be a fair assessment?
Difficult to make a general statement there. Of course, customers are very tough, of course, on the contracts they signed, and that's also fair, I think. And that's how we also respect our customers. Huh? That's how BAM always worked, and I think that built our reputation in the market as a very reliable partner. So a contract is a contract, and only very specific situations we start renegotiations there.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have any questions or follow-up questions, please press star 1.
Okay. Well, if there are no further questions, then I would like to end the call. Thank you for participating, and I wish you a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference. Thank you for your attendance. You may now disconnect. Thank you.